You're listening to Cast version of Unnecessary Roughness from LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.
It's Unnecessary Roughness, presented by the Jewelers of Las Vegas.
This was a big one to get, as you said. And the guys and the team really just making plays when plays were needed.
Lockett comes to the slot. Here comes Parsons. And he forces the pass incomplete, and that will wrap it up.
This is Unnecessary Roughness, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio. Here's your boy Q.
Sounds of Thursday Night Football. Week 13 got underway. The Cowboys pick up the victory over the Seattle Seahawks. Again, Thursday Night Football action. This is Unnecessary Roughness here on Raider Nation Radio 920. We're kicking off hour number two of the show, and the way we're doing that is with the Hall of Famer, Shereen Williams from Pro Football Talk. She joins us now. And Shereen, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you. And there was a minute where that Cowboy game looked a little dicey. I didn't know if Dallas was going to pull it off or not. But what did you see from Dallas, especially Dak Prescott, that led them down the field to pick up that victory at the end of the game?
Yeah, you know, they had dominated their opponents at home, but when you look at the quarterbacks they had played and the teams they had played, a lot of backup quarterbacks on that list, like Zach Wilson and guys like that. And, you know, the best quarterback they had played at home up to that point was Matthew Stafford, and he only played a half of the game and then one possession of the second half when he got hurt. So, you know, like that Geno was healthy and pressed him, and I thought it was a very exciting game, aside from the 252 yards, which is an NFL high this season, and penalties.
Yeah.
It was a great game. I agree with Pete Carroll. The officials got involved way too much in that game, and it had a start-stop feel to it. But just as far as the two teams, I think it was fantastic.
It was. It was a really entertaining game. And, yeah, I've never seen a game officiated like that, and then you see the score 41-35, and then no punts. I mean, there was no punts in the game either. I think it's happened, what, five times now in history?
Yeah. A rarity, and Mike McCarthy has had three of those times that it's happened. It happened twice in 2014 when he was with the Packers.
Wow.
So, yeah, a rarity in the NFL that we had no – punts. We did have obviously some turnovers on downs and some turnovers. I thought it was a really good game. The Thursday night games, it was one of my favorite games that I've watched this year, just from a pure entertainment standpoint.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Dak Prescott is in the MVP conversation. A lot of folks are talking about him, as you very well know. How much of the success that he's having this year has to do with CeeDee Lamb taking that next step and being the alpha dog wide receiver?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, because when you look at their other weapons, Jake Ferguson, the tight end, has really stepped up and played much, much better, especially here lately. But, you know, Brandon Cooks hasn't done as much as they wanted him to, thought he would do. Michael Gallup has not come back off of that knee injury. Jalen Tolbert's been okay. They've used Turpin some, you know, more of a turner, but they've used him in some downs, and he's caught some passes more than he caught last year for the Cowboys. So, yeah, I think a big part of that is CeeDee Lamb, is him stepping up and taking that next step. And when you start to look at, you know, I vote for All Pro and all the awards, and when you start to look at some of those awards, I think you start to consider CeeDee for the All Pro team. So we'll see how that shakes out at the end of the year. We still got a long way to go, but he certainly played like an All Pro type receiver this season.
Are the Cowboys built to be that team that Jerry needs them to be? Like, not only get into the playoffs, obviously, but make that deep run that he's looking for?
You know, they believe that, but I don't think we know yet, honestly.
Okay.
Because, you know, you start looking at who they've beaten. They've played, well, the Seahawks are the first team they've played at home. They've beaten who had a winning record or has a winning record, and then now they're 6-6. So of the teams they've played at home, and they have a 13-game home winning streak now. I think it's 14 games now. But none of them have a winning record. So
right.
That doesn't tell us anything. And then the two teams they played with winning records, they lost to. They got absolutely destroyed, obviously, by San Francisco. Now both of those games are on the road. They get the Eagles at home next week. So I think next week is really going to tell us exactly what you're asking. It's going to answer that question. If they can't beat the Eagles at home, then I think it's a solid no, because they're going to have to go on the road and win either at San Francisco or at Philadelphia or at both to get to where they want to go. And I think at that point we can say it's pretty obvious that they don't have much of a chance to do that based on what we've seen from the regular season. Now, if they beat the Eagles, and depending on what happens with the 49ers and Eagles this week, the Cowboys actually could be in first place after next week. As weird as it is, as well as the Eagles have played with the one loss, the Cowboys could be in first place next week. Wow. If things go their way this week, San Francisco wins this week. Again, I don't think that's going to happen, but if it does, then they're playing for the NFC East lead next week, and the Cowboys will have a chance to be on top of the NFC East. And, you know, you talked about the MVP award. Dak's not going to win the MVP award if the Cowboys don't win the division. I mean, that's just the way this award works. First of all, it's turned into a quarterback award. I know Kyle Shanahan today was pumping up the campaign of Christian McCaffrey, and I don't like that it's turned into a quarterback award, but that's what it is. An Offensive Player of the Year has become, all right, who's the next best player in the NFL at receiver, tight end, running back, other skill positions. That's what this has become. And so if you look back over the last few years, it's, all right, which team was the best in the NFC? Which team was the best in the AFC? Okay, which of those two quarterbacks was the best?
Right.
And that's how the award has been given over the last however many years. So if Dak wants to win that award, we can talk all we want about he's in the running. He's in the running. Absolutely, he's in the running. But if they don't win the division, how do you, no matter what his numbers are, how do you give that award to Dak Prescott over Jalen Hurts? I just don't think you can. Now, maybe you don't give it to Jalen Hurts, but I don't think you can give it to Dak Prescott if they don't win the division. So huge for the Cowboys to win out and hope that the Eagles lose another one.
Again, we're talking with Shereen Williams, the Hall of Famer for Pro Football Talk here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Unnecessary Roughness. You mentioned Philly. You mentioned San Francisco. That's a game that we're all anticipating this upcoming weekend. Who is this game, in your opinion, more important for?
Wow, that's tough. You know, because I think, if the Eagles win, they've got that one-game edge on the Cowboys going in next week. And if they lose next week, it's well okay. Because their schedule gets really easy at the end of the year. So, I guess I'm going to say the 49ers because they lost the Eagles last year and they talked all that noise about, well, we had injuries if Purdy had stayed healthy. Yada. They talk a lot of talk. They did it after the Cowboys game. They did it after the NFC Championship game, even though they lost that game last year. They talk the talk. They need to back that up in this game. They need to show that they can beat the Eagles home, away, wherever it is, but kind of get that the Eagles have your number. Prove it that it was Brock Purdy staying healthy last year that you guys could have competed with the Eagles if he had stayed healthy. So I'm going to say the 49ers, but God, it's such a big game for both teams.
What have you seen from the Eagles where they haven't been the team or they haven't looked the same as they did last year when they went to the Super Bowl, but they've only lost one game, right? I mean, they're playing really good ball. It just looks different. What has it been about the Eagles that has allowed them to do that?
I think it's Jalen Hurts in the fourth quarter and the Eagles in the fourth quarter never panicking when they're down and just finding a way to win. There's something to be said for that. You know, you don't need to go out and dominate. Sure, I know Eagles fans would want that. They want their team to go out and dominate and enjoy the second half and have your starter sitting on the sideline, not going to get hurt. But, you know, there is something to winning close games and knowing how to win. And I think this is a team that has proved that it knows how to win, and it finds a way. Now, when you look at the one loss, you're thinking, how in the world did they lose to the Jets?
Right.
And I'm still asking myself, how in the world did they lose to the Jets? Because they had lost to the Jets. Boy, we'd really be talking about the Eagles as something special. And as it is, they're probably only going to lose two games at most, maybe three, but no more than when you look at that schedule, there's just no way they're going to lose more than three games. They could lose this week, they could lose next week, but I don't see anybody else beating them on their schedule.
It's going to be funny, man. They're a fun team to watch. They really are. And I remember saying, yeah, the Eagles just don't quite look the same. And here they are with one loss overall. So they're playing their tails off. Again, Shereen Williams is our guest here on Raider Nation Radio 920 Unnecessary Roughness. I wanted to ask you a question about coaching. And it's funny, I was thinking about this, and it kind of made me stumble into something else. Why is it so difficult for interim head coaches to hold on to that interim head coach tag?
I think people see it as a bump. Like anytime you change coaches, players are excited to play for somebody else, and there's just a natural bump of, all right, let's go out and play hard for this guy. We didn't like the other guy. I mean,
right.
So obviously in Las Vegas. They didn't like the guy they were playing for. So it's all right, let's go out and play hard for Antonio Pierce because we really like him. He's a player's coach. Let's go out and win some games for him. And so you have that kind of natural bump that these guys get. And then, you know, I just think owners look at those guys and just think, I can do better. I can do better. There's a reason that this guy wasn't my head coach in the first place. I can do better than this. And sometimes you can't do better. I still say, now Rich Bisaccia, I know I've been on here a lot of times saying Rich Bisaccia is my good friend, and he is, and I wanted him to get that job. But I think Raiders fans will agree the team would have been way better off with Rich Bisaccia than where they are right now. I truly believe that. I think they would have been on a path to make the playoffs and contend every single year. And now, you know, they've taken another step back to, okay, now we've got to find a new head coach and maybe need a quarterback. You know, I think they'll find out about Aiden O'Connell, exactly what he is, if he can be the franchise quarterback over the rest of the season. But, you know, I just sometimes look at this, the Panthers probably would have been better off with Steve Wilks as their head coach, and they decided to go outside the organization, 11 games in, Frank Reich's gone. So, you know, I think sometimes these owners just overthink things. And it's not as difficult sometimes as made out to be. If the guy truly, I mean, you saw the Raiders players come out in support of Rich Bisaccia after that season. They wanted him to stay. And sometimes you have to listen to your players. Not all the time. They're not always right. But I think in the case of coaches, you really have to listen to the players and let them have a say in who they want as head coach, who they will play hard for, who fires them up week after week after week. Can't get in that locker room and be boring and be hard on the guys to the point of where they're not enjoying the football, not enjoying going out even and playing a game. And I think that's the way it got for the Raiders.
Yeah, it feels like it. And it's funny, as I was kind of going through this and thinking about Bisaccia and I was thinking about Steve Wilks, it just hit me. And maybe I'm late to the party, but it hit me like, okay, the only two jobs that are open right now, as we know, are the Raiders and the Panthers. And both of those had interim coaches in Bisaccia and Wilks, and they decided to go in different directions, and those different directions are no longer with the team. I feel like, Shireen, that's not really a coincidence.
Yeah, it's a great point, and I think you're on to something, that here they are trying to hire another head coach in a short amount of time. So, yeah, you know, you look at the same deal with the Texans. I mean, they finally found their head coach. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the fourth head coach they've had in 4 years. And, you know, D'Amico Ryans is that guy. And he's going to be really good there for a long time. I think he's going to be there as long as he wants to be there because he's that good as a head coach. But you got to find that guy. You got to be sure when you hire a coach that he's going to work out for you, and he is going to be the long-term guy. And there's not always those assurances, but I think there are some things that can point you in the right direction. And, you know, the two teams we're talking about, I don't know if guys have other options that those are owners that they want to go work for based on what we've seen over the last years. I just don't. I think if they have other options, they'll go somewhere else. It was Sean Payton, if you remember, had an offer from the Raiders. He was the Cowboys offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Under Bill Parcells, had an offer for the Raiders, and they offered him. He said, no, I don't want to go there. That to me is going to be the end of my career. If I go there, I'm going to flame out with that team, with that owner. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to wait. Went back to the Cowboys for a year. Next year he's in New Orleans, and look how it worked out for him, and he was a great coach. So, you know, I just think with what they've done over the last few years, these two teams, I just think it's going to have to be somebody who doesn't have other options. And so maybe it's not the guy you want, or maybe your interim coach this time is the guy. Maybe that's the right move to make. Maybe you're not going to do any better than that. You're not going to upgrade over that. So maybe give them a chance to take the reins and see what they can do.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to think about, and I think that Mark Davis is really kind of learning from that Bisaccia situation, because you're absolutely right. All the players wanted him to stay on as the long-term coach, and sometimes you want more, but more is right there in front of you. You just don't see it. Well, Shireen, we'll wrap up with this. I wanted to ask about your alma mater, Texas A&M. Now they have their head coach, Mike Elko. You mentioned him when you came on the show before. What do you think now that it's official?
Yeah, I'm excited by it. I think he was a natural choice. They took a long route to to get back to him. Of course, offered the job to Mark Stoops and had Jed Fish high on their list. But when it came back around, it was Mike Elko, and I think he's the right man for the job. He understands exactly what he's getting into. I think he's the opposite of Jimbo, which is something that A&M needed. And you know what? If he's not the guy, A&M in Texas, to me, somebody said to me, well, you're going to be looking for last night at the game, you're going to be looking for a new head coach in 3 years. You know what? I think he's the guy. But if he's not the guy, okay, we have money. We'll keep trying until we get the guy. And that's what you do if you're A&M or Texas. And when you finally hit on that guy, you have something special. And I think you've seen it with A&M basketball. Mm-hmm. A&M basketball was crap for so long. You can't win at A&M in basketball. They got Buzz Williams. And guess what? They're winning. They're a really good team. They have a chance to go to the Final Four, to do something special this year. He's really built a great program. But you have to find that right coach to do it. It's about the players. But if you don't have the coach to go with the players, as A&M found out with all those top recruiting classes, top five recruiting classes forever under Jimbo, they couldn't get it done because they didn't have the coaching. So you have to have the coach to go with the players.
Yeah, you absolutely do. I thought it was a heck of a hire. Mike Elko now there at College Station with the Aggies. Fantastic stuff as always, Shereen. What are you working on that we should be on the lookout for?
Oh, it's pretty quiet now. I think we'll be pretty quiet until Sunday, just
right.
These actions and stuff like that. So not real exciting now. I'm sure there'll be some other stuff we'll put out about the 49ers-Eagles game, since that's the big game of the week.
Well, I bet that I know everyone's paying attention to that one. Since the Raiders have a bye, I'll be paying attention to that one as well. Thanks so much for your time, Shereen. It's always great to catch up with you. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Shereen Williams right there, Pro Football Talk, the Hall of Famer, joining us here on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio, 920. 317 is the time. We'll get to some of your calls and texts. You can hit us up at 702-365-9200. We got plenty coming up in this hour. We got at 4 o'clock, Brian Fisher from Fox Sports. We'll talk all things college football. But we threw the question out there on the don'tbebroke.com text line of the phone line at 702-365-9200. It's all the same number now. Again, 702-365-9200. Hit us up either way. The question, what do you do during the bye week? Any games that you're focusing on? That's one of the questions. That's the easy one. And then the second question, if coaching is right, do the Raiders as a team have enough all-around talent to compete consistently? And if not, what position or positions do you think needs to be upgraded? Checking out the don'tbebroke.com text line again, 702-365-9200. Mark said, Q, love your show. O-line, O-line, O-line. If you have a good O-line, you have the ability to control the game. Keep the D off the field and pound the rock late in the game. That's Raider Mark from Prosper, Texas. Shout out to Prosper, Texas. Not mad at that at all. Offensive line, I think that that's an area that we've been kind of concentrating on and talking about as well, that you definitely need to upgrade the offensive line. Let's see. We got another text from the Raider doctor, Ramon, the Raider witch doctor. He said, Aiden O'Connell is the next Tom Brady. His body and passing skills are very similar. Let's not forget, Tom Brady was a sixth-round, 199 pick. That's from Raider Ramon, the Raider witch doctor. And it's hard in 2023 and five games into his starting career to coin anybody a Tom Brady, because we know what Tom Brady is. Now, if you said he was the next Brock Purdy, okay, cool. Right? Because that story is still being written. It's really hard to go ahead and say, hey, he's that guy. I understand what you're talking about with the body type and the skills. I get that. You know, but man, I can't put anybody that's just barely getting his career started, I can't point the finger and be like, oh yeah, he's gonna be the next that guy. That is really too hard to do for me. Got a text from Raider Greg in Sacramento. I said, what's up, Q? What's up, Ari? It's your guy Raider Greg out of Sactown. Congratulations, Q, on the nomination. You're well-deserving, brother. Love the new easy text line. Hoping our Raiders rest up and get ready to go on a run. By the way, the Hondo Carpenter article was eye-opening. Looks like Ziggs wanted to move up and get CJ and could have been vetoed, but McDaniels said no. Shaking my head, brother. Go Raiders. That's from Raider Greg. And yeah, I don't want to really deep dive into the next man's article because I don't know who he talked to and all that other stuff. To me, just on the surface, I'm a Dave Ziegler guy. I'm a big fan of Dave Ziegler. We communicate to this day. It really felt like a Dave Ziegler kind of piece where it was making him out to seem really, really one-sided. And again, I can't quote it, And I can't say what's true and what's not true and this, that, and the other because I don't know. So that would be something that I can't really comment on. I'd have to have Hondo comment on that, and he could tell you the insides and outs of it. I know the only thing that me and Dave Ziegler have communicated about when it came to what they did and what they didn't do is he told me basically, like, hey, we came to agreements on everything, right? We found our own ways to get to the agreements, but we eventually agreed on everything. And that's how it is, right? Like, Ari can have an idea and I can have an idea. Ari can say one thing, I can say another thing, and then we can arrive in the middle even. That's all I know as far as the dynamics. So I can't really deep dive into that article. That's a Hondo thing. That's not really a Q thing. So I can't really get into that. Got a text from, let's see. Got a text from Mike. He said, where is that? Here we go. Hey, Q, I believe the talent is there to win now. If we can get an offensive coordinator who implements a new and innovative offense, we can make some noise. But it all starts at the quarterback. And if we have a shot at drafting a franchise quarterback, we should take it. Who that may be is a different story altogether. That is from Mike. I like that. Good stuff. Definitely appreciate that. Let's see. Keep those texts coming. Glenn in San Jose. What up, Q? What up, Ari? My plan is to head to Seattle tomorrow morning to visit my son for a few days, go to a concert in the downtown area to see Wolfgang Van Halen. Yep, Eddie's son. And hit up a Christmas village complete with a beer garden and all. Good times will be had. That's Glenn in San Jose. I like that. Really good stuff. Enjoy the beer garden. And you said Wolfgang Van Halen. There you go. That's cool, too. That's a little legacy right there. So he's hopping on a bird. Man, he's taking the bye week to hop on a bird and go out there and have some fun. So I think that is really cool. Keep that feedback coming. Again, 702-365-9200. Also, you can hit us up just by calling in. If you want to be a part of the show, you want to chime in, same number, 702-365-9200. That's the Raider Nation listener line. And, of course, we've got the don'tbebroke.com text line. Speaking of the phone line, let's go ahead and go out to it. Talk to our guy, Passionate Raider. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, dude?
What's up, Q, man? Hey, big props this week, man, keeping us all tuned in all week long, you know. I try to tune in all day long and listen to everyone's show, you know, and listen to everyone's opinions and their this and that. And, you know, it's just kind of neutral right over here. And I like you keep the play, you keep the field open, man. Thanks.
Cool.
Thanks for that.
No problem.
But my biggest thing, as we all know, is we need to have this offensive line and this defensive line need to be built like, we hate to say it, but how the 49ers have built their team, how the Ravens are building their team, it has to be one trenches. D-line, O-line wins games. It brings the dirtiness out of the players, and it's just the toughness of the team. If you're not tough there, you don't have a tough team. So I think we hit those two spots, Q, roll with what we got. I think we do got the playmakers. We do got some pieces there that are doable, but if you want my honest opinion, I think a big reset this offseason. That's what I'm thinking.
You said a big reset?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big reset. I think there's going to be some pieces moved around. I don't know. I don't want to put all my chips on one thing, but I just think we're gonna see some things happen this offseason, and it might make us scratch our heads, but you know what? I do got faith that Mark is really, 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 really going to do his due diligence this time and get the right guys in there to turn this ship around. Because, like I said the other day, he's winning and everything else he's doing, Q. And this is just one thing that just has to get right is the Raiders. It's time, man. So, hey, happy Friday. Taking a long way home from work tonight. Enjoying my hot cup of coffee. Enjoying my snacks and my goodies. And no football this week, but Q, I was going to take a parlay last night. I don't even get on FanDuel, but lately I've been peeking into it and looking around. And I seen a parlay last night, a touchdown for CeeDee Lamb, Cook, Metcalf, and Pollard for $10 to win $488. I kind of forgot about it. I wanted to go get it right when the game started. I couldn't find it. All four of those guys scored touchdowns.
Yeah, they did.
I woke up every hour on the hour last night like, dude, idiot. Idiot. So I got another one going. This is another little $10 one for the Niner game. I need the Niners with the money line. I need Kittle to score. I need Debo to score, McCaffrey to score, and Hurts for a touchdown.
Oh, man.
I think that's doable.
I don't know, brother. That's a lot. That's a lot. But, yeah, good luck on that. Good luck on that because this game coming up, man, Eagles and Niners, I don't know how much scoring is going to happen in that game with a lot of defense, a lot of really good defense. But good luck. That did work out on the Cowboy game. I wish you had placed that bet. Unfortunately, you did not. But thanks so much for the call. Definitely appreciate it. Just go ahead and get one more quick call in. How about we go out to Hardcore Raider? Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Hey, a couple things here real quick. So, one, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot more questions than answers at this point. Everything from the head coach to the offensive coordinator, what's the scheme going to be? Does the current quarterback fit that scheme, or do we need a more mobile quarterback? So there's a lot of questions, and everything kind of delves into separate categories, I think, from that point. And especially, you know, this offensive line has to be addressed. But I do want to say something. I forget her name, but the Hall of Famer, I was going to call her Miss Texas or Mrs. Texas.
Oh, Shireen.
Shireen. She had said something, you know, and I don't know, man. Everybody knights Sean Payton is this great coach. Well, first of all, like, that dude, I just don't see him as a Raider. But if you look at what he did in the Saints, he did get them a Super Bowl. But they went all in. They're in, like, cap hell. I know they signed Derek Carr. But if you look up the numbers and what he did, at the point in time where essentially the Saints were at a max cap space and going to be in cap hell for a lot of years, Sean Payton took off. And so, you know, he didn't get the second Super Bowl done. He got one for him, but he left him in cap hell. So Sean Payton's not as great as everybody thinks he is. He might be a good offensive play caller, but as far as, like, his management skills, I'm not giving him some crown trophy just because he won one Super Bowl in how many years, and he put a team in utterly cap hell if you look up the numbers. So I'm going to kind of disagree with that, and I would never want that dude to be a Raider. So that's all
right.
I got to say.
Fair enough. That's a hardcore Raider. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have minded him being a Raider head coach. I remember when Al wanted to hire him. I remember exactly when he wanted to hire him, and I thought he was a hell of a coach then. I still think he's a hell of a coach, and I look at, if you want to see an example, look what he's doing in Denver right now. They're the hottest team in football. Won 5 games in a row with a team that everyone thought the quarterback was broken. They got rid of players like Randy Gregory, like Frank Clark, got him out of the locker room. They're doing pretty good. I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all. He's a pretty good coach. He's a pretty good coach. I get what you're saying. And everyone's not meant to be a Raider head coach. I'm learning that more and more each and every day. But I wouldn't have had no problem with Sean Payton. I think he's a hell of a coach, and so I totally understand what she's saying. And I don't know about you, but I'd take one Super Bowl, right? The last time the Raiders won a Super Bowl, I was 7. So I'm 47. Just celebrated my 47th birthday early November. So I definitely take a more current Super Bowl than the last one. But that's just me. So again, I get what you're saying. And then he had a really good quarterback in Drew Brees as well, so that's nothing to shake a stick at. But thanks so much for the call. Really good stuff. You can keep that feedback coming. It's all good. 702-365-9200. That's 702-365-9200. That is the don'tbebroke.com text line and the phone line. Now the Raider Nation request line. You can hit us up and let us know what's on your mind. Again, 702-365-9200. We do have some Raiders assistant coaches on the way. We'll hear from Kennedy Palomalo, but we'll hear from you as well. We'll do it next here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
This podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness on LVSportsNetwork.com is brought to you by Porta Subs. Make sure you check out Porta Subs' 6-foot party trays. They're perfect for game days. You'll get your choice of 3 made-to-order classic subs made with premium meats and cheese on your choice of fresh baked bread, loaded with fresh veggies, toppings, and sauces. Game day 6-foot trays serve 12 to 16 people, so you can sit back and enjoy the game. Available at all Las Vegas area Porta Subs, neighborhood sandwich shops. Order ahead at portasubs.com.
For me, overall, just understanding how we operate, working with Pat, working with Tom, being side by side with Bo, working with Matt Sheldon with the game management, that takes time. And I get it. I'm racing time now, right? Clock is ticking, right? It's almost over. I get it. But the best part about it, I know whenever this is over, I've gotten better. It'll be a better AP whenever that happens again. So I'm fine with that.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
That was Antonio Pierce from Monday. I actually asked him the question how the game is slowing down to him. He had talked about how the game is slowing down a little bit for Aiden O'Connell, and it made it triggered in my head, like, okay, well, how is the game slowing down to him? Because, look, AP is brand new at this when it comes to being the head coach. There's so much new. I had someone hit me up on my podcast voicemail line, I believe last night, sometime this week, and said that they thought that the Raiders could go on a run because the games are very winnable. It was five games in a row. And, well, one, I think that that's very difficult to do in the NFL in general. If you have a veteran head coach and a veteran quarterback and a veteran play caller, let alone you have a rookie quarterback and a brand new head coach and a brand new offensive coordinator. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much new that's very difficult to do. So a lot of the results that we're seeing and a lot of maybe mistakes that we'll look and say, oh, that wasn't right or that shouldn't have happened, we have to also take with a grain of salt. And that's what I've really been trying to do a lot, not try to get overcritical, because I realize that there's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be a couple mistakes, right? I think AP or Champ Kelly, one of the two, said we're going to step on a few pebbles here and there, right? It ain't going to be smooth sailing the whole way. And that's okay. Like, I understand that. And that's why I understand that when Aiden O'Connell's out there. I know every pass he makes is not going to be fantastic. You know, I know every read that he makes is not going to be the right read. I know he might hold on to the ball a little longer than he's supposed to, but he's still learning. He's still learning. That's why the rest of the season, he'll have the opportunity to get more reps. And I think it's like with anything in life, the more you get to do, the more opportunities you get at it, the more reps you get at it, the easier it gets, the slower it becomes, the more it makes more sense why you do it, how you do it, where you do it, right? I mean, it all makes sense the more reps you get. And so this is all new for all of these guys. And they're out there trying to do the very best that they can. And I think they've done a hell of a job so far. And I'm excited to see what they do the rest of the way. With that being said, I threw the question out there on the don'tbebroke.com text line, 702-365-9200. That's the same number for the Raider Nation listener line, 702-365-9200. If the coaching is right, do the Raiders as a team have enough all-around talent to compete consistently? If not, what position or positions needs to be upgraded? And then, of course, in the spirit of the bye week, and it'd be on a Friday, we're heading into the weekend, what do you do during the bye week? Any games that you're focused in on? I'll tell you what, I'm glad. There's one reason I'm glad that the bye week is coming this weekend, and that's because it is championship weekend and Selection Sunday. That's the only reason that I'm excited that it didn't happen until week 13, because literally after I get my haircut tomorrow, and I will get my haircut tomorrow, I can sit down, watch football all day long, and check out all these championship games. And I'll be watching the game tonight. I'm excited about that. Number 3 versus number 5, right? Washington versus Oregon in our backyard here at Allegiant Stadium. I'm excited about that one. Matter of fact, I don't even start my night show on ESPN game night. I don't even start that show tonight until after that game's over. So I'm good. I'm gravy, right? Like my homework assignment, research. You know, you prep for the show. My preparation is watch the game, dummy. Watch the game. So I'm good. That's my assignment. I can do that assignment. I'm straight. Don't have to worry about asking to apply myself for that. I can do that. No doubt about it. So those are the questions that we throw out there to you again, 702-365-9200. Got this one. Let's see. This is from Bruce. He said, I think we should try to get Justin Fields for a second-round pick and draft either offensive line or defensive line in the first round. Fields is still young but won't have to adjust to the speed of the game. RPOs with Jacobs sounds good to me. Okay. That'll work. Thanks, Bruce, for that. I do appreciate you. Got a couple more texts. Man, we've been getting a ton of texts. I definitely appreciate everyone hitting us up on the don'tbebroke.com text line. And a lot of people feeling the new easy way to send in texts, like Raider Dave in Santa Rosa. Looking forward to relaxing in the bye week. Definitely won't have to hit the Tums this Sunday. That's a really good one. Also, this one's from 805 Raider. We'll never compete with Mahomes of the league. With the Mahomes of the league without a quarterback, a good one, will be playing at Legion Stadium tonight, and Michael Penix Jr. would look good in black. That's from 805 Raider. I like Michael Penix a lot as well. I really like Michael Penix. He hasn't been playing the best ball the last couple weeks, but I definitely like what he brings to the table. I think he's a really good quarterback, and he's got a strong arm. He could do some really good things. So I'm right there with you. I definitely appreciate that. Eric from Jacksonville hit us up. This is way easier. I'd be outside putting up decorations. Happy wife, happy life. We need to finish out the season with 5 wins. So there you go. There's Eric from Jacksonville letting you know what he's going to be doing this weekend. He's going to be putting up Christmas lights or Christmas decorations. This one's from George. Hoping for all AFC West teams to lose on Sunday. And then let's see. Did we get another one? Yeah, this one's from – I think I already did this one. Yeah, I already did. This was from Brad. Vikings are actually coming off the bye as well next week. So there you go. Both teams getting a little bit of R&R. So thanks so much for that. Plenty of feedback on our don'tbebroke.com text line. It's so easy to use. It's 702-365-9200. It's the same number for the text line as it is for the phone line. Let's go ahead and go back to the Raiders Intermountain Health Performance Center earlier this week where the assistant coaches, I'm talking about defensive backs coach Chris Ash, defensive line coach Rob Leonard, who we heard from yesterday, passing game coordinator Scott Turner, and also running back coach Kennedy Polamalu. Here's that conversation. If you're talking running backs, you got to be talking Josh Jacobs, right?
He's an unconditional competitor. He has a and he just runs with the determination. But the other thing that people it's been a joy for me is his off the field work. How he takes care of his body. We started, you know, that a year ago, and he's learning to really have a good, you know, routine prepared year round. So it's fun watching him and being part of it.
So it's interesting you say that because there's been multiple times since Josh came back, even as recently as last night, that Josh he will mention, "Hey, I feel good right now." Can you tell me some things that you notice that's different about his preparation from maybe other running backs out there?
Well, we can only say in our time, and he's bought into you know habits, building good habits, and that's a credit to him. You know the good ones have a good routine, and but just today I asked him how he's feeling, and he's like, "Coach, I feel great," and it's just. It's all part of that recovery and regen and sleeping and, you know, just and he's, you know, 26, 27 years old and he loves he loves competing. I mean, it doesn't matter what he's doing, but he just loves competing.
And what do you need to see from him / your running game in general moving forward?
You know, it's just take the ugly. And you know, he and I watched the film and just talked about, you know, there's going to be, you know, two or three where it's not going to be there. But just take the ugly. And he's doing that. You know, he's getting those 4 or 5 yard gains, being efficient so that we sit there on, you know, third and manageable. But that run he had the other day, that was pretty good. That was pretty impressive.
Not to be flippant about this, but I know a lot of fans are like, who's the Raider backup running back? It's because Josh doesn't come off the field. Have you been around a guy that's, you know, I mean, you worked with, I think, Adrian Peterson.
No, oh, okay. I had Dalvin Cook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've always been a bell cow guy. Yeah. So, you know, we tend what has helped is Amir Abdullah will take some of the third down stuff off him, and Zamir is ready to go at any time, but it is hard to take out that guy when he is feeling good and healthy. And you know, it's no secret when he touches the ball, we tend to do pretty good.
Right. So, yeah, I'm sure you're communicating with him. What is the communication like in terms of that? Like, hey, do you need a spell? Do you need to come out?
Just the way we prepare all week, practice. Kind of, we have a routine that we do, and so that my key and his key is to explode on Sunday, not get caught up in exploding so much on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and just kind of build it.
Right.
And he's done a pretty good job of that.
Kennedy Polamalu right there, the Raiders running back coach, and obviously he's a guy that's very close with Josh Jacobs. And Josh is doing his thing, even though it's not looking the same as it did a year ago. Still to know he's third in the league right now in rushing tells you all you need to know, right? I mean, the dude is still out there giving it everything he's got. I remember talking to him in the locker room following the game, the Chiefs game, and I can't remember. I think it might have been Heidi Fang who said, you know, do you need this bye week or how much do you need this? And he was like, I feel good. I'm straight. Right? I'm not tired at all. My body feels good, which is a good thing. That just kind of goes back to what he did last year and shows you how much he trained and how hard he worked to be ready to go all 17 games, which he did last year. And he's on pace to do that as well. Again, want to remind everybody that we have the don'tbebroke.com text line is out all now. One number. 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. If you want to send a text into the show, it's the same number that you would call into. It's just that simple. We condense it all into one.
And thank you so much for listening to the podcast version of Unnecessary Roughness here on LVSportsNetwork.com, brought to you by Porta Subs.